So if you're in primary school, you'd like to come and give me a hand with the message today, just come and sit down the front, because I'm going to be asking you some stuff you're learning at school and stuff you learnt over the last week about Everest and about God. So come down the front if you'd like to. You can give me a hand. You can sit down the front. Get on ya. There's more here than I thought. You're hiding away up the back. Yep. He goes to big boys' school. Yeah, they're still trying to teach him how to behave proper. As I came into church today and I walked down the little hallway between the hall and the church, I saw five Bible messages that you guys were talking about this week. And one of them was from John 3:15. Do any of you remember what that said? It was the last day, I think, and it might be a little bit hard to remember, but if you look behind me, you might get a clue. What does it say? We're on four. Hang on a second. We're on four. Everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. That's what it says. Who's the him? All together? Did I hear Mickey Mouse? Is it Mickey Mouse?
No.
So not believing in Mickey Mouse? What about the Argonauts? No. Some people said God, and that's right, because Jesus is God. And we remember when Jesus died on the cross, he died so that our sins could be forgiven. That's what Pastor Monty's been talking about this morning, isn't it? Just before communion. And so we know, and the Bible tells us, that when we believe in Jesus, we receive eternal life. When we ask Jesus to be our friend, when we say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me the naughty things that I've done, then he becomes our friend, and the Bible tells us we have eternal life. Who's alive? Are you alive? You'd better be, because I'm not that good at CPR. Now, mums and dads, while I'm talking to these guys just at the beginning, you can be listening too, because you will need what we're talking about now to answer the questions I'm going to ask you later. Okay? So stick with us. Eternal life. Now, if you're alive, that's good. You're breathing and you're moving and you're growing. But what does it mean when it says eternal life? What does that mean, eternal life? What does it mean? When? You're still alive when? You're still alive when you die. Isn't that weird? But that's what it means. It means that when you were born, when your mummy had you, in a hospital or somewhere, at home, wherever you were born, in an ambulance on the way to hospital, I don't know where you were born, you came alive, didn't you? And one day, when your time is up, one day, you won't be alive anymore. But when you believe in Jesus, when you close your eyes that day, you don't wake up on earth. You wake up with Jesus in heaven. And that life will never, ever end. So even now we say we have eternal life, which means that even if we die, we wake up again and we're in heaven with Jesus. And that's what's so fantastic about knowing Jesus. And that's what your teachers and your leaders have been teaching you about this week. Now, when you go to school sometimes, you do some science, don't you? You do some science at school. I saw you did some science here the other day. That was pretty awesome, except it didn't work on Friday. I saw it work in the video from Tuesday when all the foam went over the table, and that was science, wasn't it? On my first day in grade 8, my very first day in grade 8 at high school, 150 years ago, my science teacher said, I'm going to teach you something today and you have to remember it for the rest of your life. Just like everything that I teach you, you have to remember forever. And so I did that because I'm that kind of student. When a teacher says you have to learn something, I try and learn it. And the teacher was talking about living things, things that are alive, and talking about the difference between things that are alive and things that are dead. And the teacher told me there are some characteristics or things that living things have and can do that dead things can't. Help me out here. What's a thing that living things can do, plants and animals, something they can do that dead things can't? Bit risky, but we'll give it a go. Go again.
Drink water.
Drink water. Okay, so drinking water. What's the other thing we do with our mouth that's also important?
Eating.
Good one. So we drink water and we eat. That's a really important thing that living things do. But that's just animals. Plants do the same thing, don't they? How do they drink water? Yep, and God sends the rain. And where do they get their food from? This is a bit trickier. You might know. Where do they get their food from? You might think that, but that's not quite right. No, it's not.
The sun is
the thing that makes it work. You're on the right track. Aha, what's that word? And what's photosynthesis? Hey, spot on. Give this boy a clap. Can you believe this? Plants eat through their leaves. So when they suck in the what gas do they suck in photosynthesis? Carbon dioxide. And the sun hits it. It changes it into sugar inside the plant's leaves. And that's where they eat. That's how they get their food. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Okay, something different. We've had eat. What else? What else do living things do that non-living things can't do?
Breathe.
Let's try it. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, and in. And hold it. And out. Okay, now the day you stop doing that is the day you'll say hello to Jesus. So it's really good to know, isn't it? That even if you go unconscious, you just keep breathing. Your body knows it has to do it. So that's something that living things do. Okay, what else? Okay, but plants can't walk. Move. Okay, so living things can move. That's three things. We've had eat. We've had breathe. And the science word for that is respire, you know, respiration. Okay, and we've had move. What else can living things do? Now we get a little bit trickier. Let's try one more, kid, and then we might go to adults. Okay, that's part of breathing, isn't it? Okay. Come on, adults. There's four more. Yeah, that's only half the species. Grow. Okay, so when you eat, what happens? You grow. When you're little, you grow up. When you're like me, you grow out. But you keep growing. Okay, so we've had eat. We've had breathe or respire. We've had grow. And we've had move. What else can living things do? Reproduce. What does that mean? Make babies. So plants make babies. They have seeds. The seeds grow. More plants. Animals and people make babies. And there's more babies. Okay, what else can living things do that dead things can't? Say again. Sleep. That'd be nice. What else can living things do that dead things can't? Say? I think we had that one. respond to the environment. Now, scientists call that respond to stimuli, and that means that if something happens around you, you respond to it. So let's just say, for instance, I pull this big pin out of my bag, and I walk down here. You see what I mean? They respond to the stimuli, okay? So something's happening near them, and they respond. Now, if I do that to the microphone, nothing happens. But living things respond to the world around them or respond to stimuli. There's one more thing. And no one likes to talk about it, but we all have to every day. Dare I? He made me say it. Is that what you're about to say? He knows it. What do we have to do every day? If we don't, we get really uncomfortable. And that's the last thing that living things can do that dead things can't. Now, plants, how do plants get rid of their waste? What happens in autumn? What happens? The plants don't die. What happens? They drop their leaves. So they put all their rubbish, all the stuff they don't need anymore, in their leaves. The leaves drop off. They sleep through winter. And then new leaves come. Okay, so you have done very well. Here is a list. Here's a list of what living things can do. They can eat, they can grow, they can respire, which means breathe, they can move, they can reproduce, have babies, they can dispose of their waste, go to the toilet or whatever, and they respond to stimuli, the things around about them. Okay, you're doing very well. If you can remember those, that's terrific. I would like to do a test. Not a math test or a science test. I'd like to do a test to see if something is alive or dead. Fair enough? Shall we do a test? If we do a test, what do we have to try to prove? Okay, how would we prove that? You look at that list and we test it to see if it can do any of those things. Fair enough? Okay, let me see if I can get this out without it coming out on its own. Okay, we're going to test it and see if it's alive or if it's dead. Are you ready for this? Now, you can make a hypothesis. What's a hypothesis? It's a guess or an idea, and then we have to test the hypothesis. My hypothesis is that this creature is alive because it smells. That's not actually a test, is it? Let's try. What's the first thing? Eating. Okay, let's see if this creature will eat. It has a tongue, so it may be able to eat. It's not where its mouth is. Up there. Maybe it's not hungry today. Maybe it's not hungry today. Who is? Okay, it's yours. I didn't touch the shoe. The creature, it stayed separate. Okay. Now, what was the second thing? So it can eat. What's the second thing? Grow. Good memories. Okay, so I need someone who's good at maths. Okay, you'll do. Richard, up you come. Yep. You know how to use one of these? Okay, good. You sure? Okay, can you measure that for me? Tell me how long it is. And later today, I'm going to get you to hop back up. Okay, right up to the end. How long do you reckon it is? It's 3 meters. Okay, I might be a clown, but not that kind. I reckon that's right on that red one, which says 300. Okay, so you keep that safe. So you make sure I don't, you know, give you a fake one or something later on. You can keep that safe. I'll call you back up in a minute. So this is how long? 300 millimeters. Okay. All right, what was next? Respire. Now that's breathing in, breathing out. Okay? I have a test for that one, I think. I'll try my test for that one. I need someone who's got very steady hands. Okay, now, let me try this on me. Might need an older dude, you reckon? I heard someone say that. Might need an older dude. Okay, so when I put this... Why did it go out? I was breathing on it. Okay, so if this creature is alive, this will make the candle flicker at least. Okay, you'll do. Okay, so wherever you like, just see if it's breathing at all anywhere. It's not looking too good. Has it passed any tests yet?
No.
Not yet. Thank you very much. You blow it out for me? Thank you. What's the next one? Move. Okay. I've trained this creature really, really well. I told it to stay when I put it there, and it's obeyed me the whole time. What's this? Here we go. Here we go. Here, boy. Here, boy. Come on. Here, boy. Here, boy. Here, boy. Can you have a go? Go on. You try. Call it. Give it a call. I wasn't loud enough. You weren't loud enough. Perhaps it's asleep. Maybe you need to shout a bit louder. It's not working. I don't think it's moving. Let's have a look at the next one. What's the next thing? Okay. This is a little bit tricky. Now, you know what this one means, don't you? When things have babies. Now, I've only got one shoe. One creature. That's a bit of a problem. Could someone just... Thank you. Okay. Let's see if there's any... Who wants to have a look? See if there's any... Okay, over the back. Yep. Have a look. Can you see any little ones running around? I can see some down there, but they seem to be from different families. You better give that one back to Pastor Mondi. Nothing's happening here. It's just not going very well. Okay, let's see. What was the next thing? What was the next thing? Okay, let's have a look and see if there's any licorice bullets around anywhere. You know what I mean? That's my banana skin that somebody ate. Okay, who wants to come up and have a look and just see? Because if I go bushwalking, I can tell if there's wallabies. How can I tell if there's wallabies around? I can't see any wallabies anywhere. How can I know if there's some live near here? Because of their droppings. You can say, that's a wallaby dropping. Whoa, that's an elephant dropping. You can tell what's around, can't you? Yep, okay. Who'd like to have a look? Just check, make sure. Don't want to mess up the church. You three girls can check. Yep. Yep. Doesn't look like it. So how many have we passed so far?
Zero.
We've passed zero. How many have we failed so far?
Almost.
Not quite. We've still got one to fix yet and find out if it's been growing, okay? So there's one more thing. One more thing. What's it? Respond to stimuli. Okay, let me try that test I was going to try on you on the shoe. What does respond to stimuli mean? Tell me again. Okay, so they react to the things around us. So if it was hot and we were feeling really hot, what might we do? Take a jumper off or go for a swim. If we could see a fire in front of us and it looked like it was getting out of control, a bushfire, what might we do? Would you really? If it was a big bushfire, you'd get a bucket of water. Call the fire brigade. So you saw it, and then you did something. Okay, so here we go. Let's see. Let's see. What happens? Nothing. Nothing. Okay, one last test. We've got to check and see if it's grown while we've been talking. It's had long enough to grow. If it ate its breakfast, it would be growing. Okay, where do we go? And back down this way. Yep, how long is it? Still 300. Alive or dead? Dead as a dodo. Do you know what a dodo is? It's a type of bird that used to be alive and there's none left. And so when something's dead, 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 we say it's dead as a dodo. Extinct. Yeah. Good call. Hey, you've learned a little bit today and you've been really, really helpful. Really, really helpful. In those two Bible verses that I put up at the beginning, thank you, I had the one from John 3:15, and that one was the one from your holiday club, everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. And then I had another Bible verse from John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Or have an exciting life, or an abundant life, some Bibles say. And I was thinking about that. If living things are meant to have those seven characteristics, and if being a Christian makes us alive in Christ, could we apply those same seven tests to us as Christians? And if we do, might we be shocked by the results? Now, when Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, it's not always been like that, has it? Galatians chapter 2 says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. So Paul is saying to Christians, once upon a time, although you were alive and you were able to walk around and do things and go shopping and play on swings and watch the fights in the Colosseum and all the other things that you could do because you're alive, even though you were alive physically, there was a time when you were dead spiritually. You didn't know Jesus and you didn't know God's forgiveness. And then he goes on and he says this, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of God's wrath. In other words, although we were alive, we weren't living for God, we didn't know God, and we didn't obey God in our life. And so as a result of our behavior, instead of being God's friend, we actually deserved his judgment or his wrath. And Paul's clear that everyone ever born lives that kind of life until they meet Jesus. He goes on in the next verse and says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions or in our sin. It's by grace you have been saved. What an amazing, incredible turnaround. Not just living once, but living again for eternity. Not just living an ordinary life, but living a life empowered and filled by the Spirit of God, enabling us to live a different kind of life. Not one just following the ways of everyone else and their wickedness and the wrong things that happen in our world, but giving us an alternative to actually live for Jesus. So, we might get some help from you guys. We might need a bit of help from some adults for this now, though, because I want to do those same seven tests this time for Christians. Because if God's grace gives us new life, if God's grace gives us a relationship with Him, then I am who I am only because of God's grace. I am a Christian only because of God's grace. I can't do that on my own. I'm alive and living for Jesus only because God empowers me to do that. I'm a father who endeavored to bring Christian values to his children because of the grace of God that lives in me. And I'm a grandfather who endeavors to bring Christian values to my grandchildren because of Jesus who lives in me and gives me that ability. So if I'm alive in Christ, if I have eternal life because I'm in relationship with Christ, should it not be that in a Christian sense, in a spiritual sense, I need to eat, I need to grow, I need to respire, to move, to reproduce, to dispose of waste and respond to the environment around me? Because they are the symbols, they are the characteristics of a living thing. So this time as I go through that, I need you guys to help me. And if I trigger something and you say, I remember a Bible verse about that, dig it up on your phone or your iPad or your Bible, whatever you've got with me, and at an appropriate time I'm going to ask you to call out those verses and what they basically mean. So not the whole chapter of Romans 8, okay, but just the gist of what that Bible passage that God puts in your mind while I'm speaking, just the gist of it, I'll give you a chance for that shortly. Let's start with the first test, which of course is eating. How do we eat spiritual food? Well, that's how we eat normal food. But when we're thinking about being Christians, how do we eat spiritual food? Because eating is a prerequisite for growth. And if we plan on growing in our spiritual life, we need to be feeding on something. Have you ever had a 12 to 15 year old boy or girl living in your house? That kind of statement, how many Weet-Bix do you do? Just, it's like, how many boxes? You know what I mean? I remember when our girls were growing up, there was one particular girl, if we went to Sizzlers, and she's going bright red right now, matching her jumper. If we went to Sizzlers, she would match me plate for plate for plate until I hit about 40. And then she was able just to do that extra plate. And my supremacy was challenged enormously. 12, 15-year-old teenagers, bottomless pit. I don't know which leg they store their dinner in, but somehow they just keep packing it away. Ever seen a new Christian? Ever seen a new Christian hungry for Jesus? They're at every church service. They'll go to Bible studies. They'll go online. They'll find any way they can to find spiritual food to help them grow. The problem is that brand new baby Christians sometimes don't have the maturity or the understanding of the breadth of God's word to be able to discern what's good food spiritually and what's not so good. And when Paul came to the brand new church in Corinth, he said to them, I'd really like to feed you some meat of the scriptures, but you're too immature. All I can feed you is milk. So Paul's kind of saying, let's get you started on the simple stuff, the basics of Christian faith. And when you understand that, then I can start to teach you the deeper secrets of Jesus, the deeper understandings of God's world. Jesus made a statement, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, neither will he thirst. And I thought what Monty said this morning was really interesting, because we can't eat Jesus. That's wrong. But what does he mean? He who feeds on me. He who comes to me for knowledge. He who comes for me for understanding about how to live. They won't go hungry. In other words, when you come to my word, when you feed on my word, when you understand my word, you won't go away hungry. I won't leave you ignorant. I won't leave you dumb about spiritual things. But as you immerse yourself in my word, so you will grow, so you will be fed. Any verses come to mind? Excellent. Any more? Yep, and that's when the Father even looks after the sparrows. If He looks after the sparrows and feeds the sparrows, how much more will He look after you, both physically and spiritually? All right, next test, grow. How many of you have a thing beside the door where you have marked off people's heights as they've grown? Does that part of the house ever get painted over? No. It stays there until you move, and then the next people go, we'll paint that over and we'll put our own kids there. How do you measure spiritual growth? In the Bible, it says that we should encourage our faith to grow, that we may grow in spiritual maturity, that we may grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. But how do we measure spiritual growth? We can't get one of these and go, yes, you are 7 out of 10 a Christian this week. Next week, see if you can get 8 out of 10 on the test on Friday. It's not a maths test. Oh, I hope not too, because I'd fail some days. I would fail some days. As we think about our relationship with God and growth, it becomes one of those things that's a function over time. We may go on a camp or to a kids' holiday Bible club and people teach us something and it's really important and we learn something really important and there's like a growth spurt in our understanding of Jesus. But for most of us, growth with Jesus is a steady thing. It's a day-by-day thing with an occasional lift as we learn something special, either in a time of trial or a special lesson that we learn. The way that I figure it is, if I look back 10 years and I am in the same place in my relationship with Jesus today as I was 10 years ago, there's a problem. And the problem is either that I haven't been feeding on God's word or I haven't been listening to God's word. I haven't allowed myself to be in a place where my heart gets changed and I grow. If I look back 5 years and I'm in the same place that I am now that I was then, I've got a problem. Now let's make it a bit simpler. If I look back 1 year and I'm in the same place I am today that I was a year ago, I've got a problem in my walk with Jesus. Let's make it easier. If I look back a month and I'm in the same place today as I was a month ago in my relationship with Jesus, I've got a problem. I'm not growing. If I look back yesterday and I'm in the same place as I was today, why haven't I grown? There's an old saying from when I was a teenager, if God seems far away, guess who moved? Because you can never push God further away than that. He's always by our side. And the only way that God can become further away in our life is if we turn our back and walk away from Him. And He'll let us go so far. Sometimes He calls us back and sometimes by our stubbornness we keep walking. Anyone thought of a verse about growth? And if you go back to the original language of that, it's not just grow, it's keep on growing. Growing is a continuous thing in terms of relationship with God. It's not something that happens when you became a Christian and then, I had my growth spurt. I'm mature now. No, we grow until the day that Jesus calls us home. Okay, let's think about respire. The in and out of breathing. put up your hand if that's the first time you've thought about breathing for a long time. You just do it, don't you? You just do it. You don't walk around going in, out, although there was a very good blonde joke about that. Girl with headphones, in, out, anyway. If I were to stop breathing, I hope that one of you somewhere would recognize that I had a problem and do something about it for me. But I'm reminded of Genesis chapter 2, where it says that God reached down into the dust of the earth, and he picked up the dust, the clay of the earth, and he made it into a person, the shape of a person. And then what did he do? He breathed into the man's nose. So God leaned down and breathed his breath into the man's nose, and this piece of dust, this clay shape of a man, did what? Came to life. He started breathing, and he hopped up, and he was like us, except he probably didn't have a belly button. And so, well, you think about it, he wasn't born from a mummy. Who knows? Anyway, Adam got up, walked around, found this good-looking lady who was once a piece of clay that God had breathed in her nose too. And all of a sudden, people, because of God's breath. And the word that was used, the word for breath, is wind or breath. In John chapter 2, verse 22, Jesus was talking with his disciples, and he breathed on them, and they received God's Holy Spirit. And they came alive in a New Testament sense. Thanks, mate. I've actually got one in my bag, but I forgot about it. Thank you. So too with us, we need to remember that it's God's Spirit breathed on us, breathed in us, that refreshes us day by day, gives us the encouragement that we need, the words that we need to say, the power and the authority to live the life that Jesus calls us to live, comes from His Spirit by a refreshing on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. Anyone think of a Bible verse? That's okay. Next one, which is move. Now, there's a few Bible verses about Christians needing to get off their bottoms and move. Can anyone think of some of them? Yep, thank you. What about when Jesus came down to the beach and he saw some blokes with their fishing boat and he interrupted a perfect day by taking them away from their fishing boat and telling them that they were to become fishers of men, and they left their boats, they moved away from their boats, and they did a whole different job for Jesus. I'm thinking too of Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. What does that say? Someone wants to look that up. Yep. Can you give me the rest? Yep. Let me read it to you, because this is what many people in the church for many years have called our Great Commission, or in fact, our license to move. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go, move, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Now, there's a command to move from Jesus, even if it's moving to our next door neighbors or the person in the seat beside us after church. Next one's a bit tricky, a little bit delicate. Reproduction. We talk about that in church a whole lot, but we never call it reproduction. We call it making disciples. We call it making new Christians. We call it evangelism. We call it discipleship. We dress it up by many other names. But the goal is that Christians need to be reproducing Christians, otherwise Christianity dies in a generation. We would be the last ones who know about Jesus if we don't take it to the next generation. And that those verses come from that whole section again. Jesus commanded his disciples in Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples. In another place, he was preparing a banquet and in a parable, in a story, and he said, go into the roads, in the country lanes, bring them in so my house will be full. Jesus doesn't want an empty house in heaven. There's too many rooms. And the last one, the delicate area. You know what happens if you have problems with this one. There's either one problem or another problem. And for Christians, can I use the term spiritual constipation? I don't know. Does that conjure up in your mind what it does for me? But I'm talking about blockages, sin that gets in our life as a Christian and blocks our happiness, our freedom, gives us pain and uncomfortableness and upset tummy when sin sits and it's unconfessed and it's undealt with. It always causes pain. And in a spiritual kind of a way, how do we deal with those blockages of sin that come in our lives and cause us such trouble and pain? We go to our Lord who loves us, our Saviour who died for us, and we confess our sin. And He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9, one of my favourite verses in the whole of the Bible. Through confession, through repentance, through change, blessing starts to flow again. We feed on God's Word. We grow spiritually day by day. We breathe in His Spirit. We move to the place that He needs us to be that we might minister to others or grow ourselves. We reproduce by sharing the Jesus in us with people who don't know Jesus. We respond to the stimuli. I missed that one, didn't I? We respond to the stimuli of God's voice as He tells us to do things. We need to move. Sometimes we'd jump if we were pricked with a pin, but God needs to hit us with a sledgehammer to get us to understand what He wants us to do to move. And then we keep short accounts with God in terms of the sin that's in our lives. Now, as a living man, I don't walk around every day going, have I eaten enough? Am I breathing enough? Have I done this? Have I done that? I don't check those seven things every day. Every now and then, though, I go to a doctor. And I have a checkup to make sure that I'm doing all right. He'll take some blood and he'll do a checkup and he'll say, oh, look, need to cut down on bacon. Yeah, right. Or whatever. And just hoping that in some way today that it might kind of be like a visit to a spiritual doctor, in a sense that if today we've talked about something and you've gone, I'm not feeding on God's Word, it's not fresh for me, I'm not relying on His Spirit, it's been a long time since I feel like I've grown as a Christian, then perhaps today might just raise a few flags for you and encourage you to find some place that you can help to get that kind of stuff sorted. And pray that if Jesus is speaking to you today, you'll respond to that stimulus and you'll listen to His voice and you'll do whatever it is that He's asking you to do. Heavenly Father, thank You that You have given us life. You've given us an abundant life, a wonderful life. There are blessings in our lives because we know You and walk with You that we never knew before. And we pray, Father, that You'll help us to stay alive in every sense of the word, both physically and spiritually, so that we can continue to walk for You, live for You, and love the world for You. In Jesus' name, amen.